Psalm 119, beginning at verse 161. We're going to continue the way we've been going through this psalm by looking at two words from each one of the verses. But before we begin, one final time, as a way of review, in this psalm of 176 verses, there are nine words that refer to the Bible, God's Word. And you see those words here: law, testimonies, the way, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, God's Word, or the plural, words. And so they occur in all 176 verses except for three. The three verses are 90, 122, and 132. And so there are 22 stanzas, and there are eight verses in each stanza. Each of the eight verses in each stanza begins with the same Hebrew letter. There are 22 Hebrew letters, all consonants there. And so this is an acrostic poem, beautiful poetry in the Hebrew language. And there's so much here for us as it gives us the meat about God's Word and what we can use it for in our lives as well. And so as we come to stanza 21, the two last letters of the Hebrew alphabet, Shin, and you see the Hebrew letter there, as I've been showing them to you. I'm sure you'll use that a whole lot this coming week as you have opportunity to talk Hebrew with other people there. And so as we look at verse 161, it says, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word." When we look at the word princes here, it has to do with leaders. It can be a political leader, or it can be a religious leader. And so here the psalmist says, they persecuted me. And sometimes religious leaders bring persecution to Christian. Sometimes political leaders bring persecution to Christians. And he says, they've done that without a cause. That is, without a cause that we know of. But we know the reason Christians are persecuted, even though we haven't done anything personally to people that persecute believers. The reason, the cause, is because of Christ, isn't it? Because Christ himself was persecuted. And those who stand with Christ and for Christ are going to have persecution as well. And so the word that we're comparing as we look at the Word of God and how it relates to two words in each one of these verses, princes and the phrase standeth in awe. The word comes from a word that means to dread. There. And so rather than dreading the leaders that bring persecution, he says, I'm standing in awe of the Word of God. You know, those who fear the Lord and fear God's Word have no need to fear anything else. But those who do not fear the Lord and fear His Word have reason to fear everything else there. And so he says, I stand in awe of thy word. Do you? Do you stand in awe of God's word? You read God's word, and it's not just a book for information, is it? It's a book that transforms lives. It's a book that gives us encouragement, gives us strength as we go about our work. If you work with unsaved people, maybe sometimes they're giving you the harassment like the psalmist said here with the princes that persecute me without a cause. Well, you just stand in awe of God's Word, and God will take care of you through the power of His Word. Then he goes into the next verse, and he says, I rejoice. I rejoice at thy Word. This is a jubilant celebration, and we celebrate because God has given us His Word. Aren't you glad that God didn't leave us on our own to figure out how to live the life that He wants us to live? That we don't have to guess about it. It's clear in God's Word, and we can rejoice with that because we have the spoil. As one that finds great spoil. When does one get spoil? It comes after the victory, doesn't it? And so when God gives us victory in our lives, we have rejoicing, we have the spoil, the gain for the victor's war. And the New Testament teaches us that our walk with the Lord is a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers there. And so as we win this battle against the flesh and against the armies of Satan. When we do, God gives us great spiritual blessings, the spoil, and we rejoice at what God provides for us. Verse 163, the two words we'll see there are hate and love. He says here, I hate and abhor lying. And when those two words are used together like that, it's intensified. You know, God can't stand lying, can he? The Bible says that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord here. And we as Christians need to learn to hate what God hates. Now, you've heard it said many times, we need to love the sinner, but hate the sin. And we certainly need to hate evil. And he says here, I hate it, I abhor it, but the opposite of that, thy law do I love. Now, whenever we hate something, or someone maybe, you know, we like to stay away from it. But whenever we love something and love someone, we want to spend time with them. So there's an attraction, a drawing to the things that we love, and a repelling of things that we don't love. And so the evil, the lying, and all other sin, we should be repelled against it there. But God's word, we should be attracted to it. We should want to come together, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays to hear God's word together as a body of believers, but we should have that desire every day in our lives to spend time in God's word. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil and arrogancy and the evil way in the froward mouth do I hate. I may have that up there. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If we hate evil, we're going to keep it out of our lives. If we hate evil, we're not going to associate with those that are participating in evil. We're going to avoid things that are evil if we hate it like God does. But if we love the Lord and love his word, we're going to be drawn to that. And those two things, they kind of go together, don't they? Because evil is over here. God's word is holy and righteous. It's over here. And you can't do both. And so whenever we try to stay in the middle and try to love the Lord and love some evil as well and mix them together, they don't mix very well at all. Then in 164, seven times a day do I praise thee. Do you praise the Lord seven times a day or more? Do you count how many times you praise the Lord? Hopefully it's more of a natural thing for you. Even when you say, well, just thank the Lord. You hear something good and you say, well, thank the Lord or praise the Lord. You know, you don't have to have a worship service to praise the Lord. And so here he says seven, and of course, numbers and the Bible. The word number seven is a number of completion. And so all day long, my complete day is filled with praising the Lord. The word praise in verse 164 is the Hebrew word hallel. We get our word hallelujah from that. It's a word that means to shine. And so in our lives, the Lord should shine forth. We teach little children that song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And that's what the word hallelujah is, or praise. I'm going to let my light so shine. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and then glorify your Father, which is in heaven, that they might praise him, that Christ will be the one who shines in and through us there. It says, because of, I'm still in 164, thy righteous judgments. One of these days, God is going to bring justice in his judgment of sin. And God's justice is righteous. And we need to love his justice, love his judgment, and we need to hate evil there as well. Now we come to 165, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace. You know that Hebrew word, shalom. You've heard that before. In the midst of judgment, of sin, this great peace comes from God. Because the previous verse, he talks about God's righteous judgment. But even through that, there is great peace. Peace is a state of the heart, isn't it? It's not there just because there's no war going on around or no conflicts at all, but it's something that the Lord gives. Notice we see that word love. Great peace have they which have an attraction to God's word. Those who are drawn to God's word every day, they have great peace. And then it says, nothing shall offend them. This word nothing is the Hebrew word ayin, A-Y-I-N, and it is simply a particle of negation, negativity. Do you know some negative people? People that you kind of want to avoid them because they're just so negative all the time. They're just complaining about everything. You know the old saying, they give you the organ recital. Every organ in their body, you know how it ails and all of that, you know. And a negative person, it seems like everything offends them. But here he says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The word offend means to be a stumbling block. Sometimes people stumble over materialistic things, gold and silver. Sometimes people stumble over other people and they let them have the joy and the peace of God robbed in their lives. And so here he says, great peace have they which love thy law. I'm not going to let anything keep me from God's peace. I'm going to choose God's peace. See, peace is just not something that just will just automatically flow, but it's something that we choose to do, to choose God's peace there. Let's look at a few things with this verse. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Have you ever been wronged? Whenever we're wrong, we should say, great peace I have, and this is not going to offend me. Have you ever been betrayed? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Even though I've been betrayed, I'm not going to let that cause me to fall. I'm not going to let that rob my peace that God wants me to have. Have you ever been cheated on? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Have you ever been hurt by someone? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I have four more, and I want you to join with me on the verse whenever we look at each one of these others. And so you say it out loud with me. Have you ever been blamed for something? Well, together, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. All right, we'll try it again after this one. Have you ever been attacked by someone verbally? Well, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Have you been mistreated? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Have you ever been abused? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And see, this is a choice that we make, not to be offended, not to stumble, that we're going to choose peace instead. Here's a quote from Josh Shipp. He says, you either get bitter or you get better. It's that simple. You either take what has been dealt to you and allow it to make you a better person, or you allow it to tear you down. The choice does not belong to fate. It belongs to you. It's a choice we made. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them there. You know, whenever you think about one verse in all the Bible that you could kind of choose to say, this is the verse that tells you how you should have a relationship with other people. If I were to poll you and say, which verse comes to mind on how you should treat other people, probably many of you would choose the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If I ask you for a verse that would summarize in one verse your relationship to God and everything that you do, maybe you might think of the verse that says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so when I think of our relationships with others, I think of the golden rule. When I think of my relationship with God, it's whatever I do to His glory. But when I think about just myself and looking within, I think of this verse. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them there. And I hope that that verse will ring out in your heart. I heard someone when I was in college many years ago preach on this verse. Great peace have they which love thy law. And can't remember much of the message, but I remember the verse and remember how way back then in the 70s I was challenged to not let anything that anybody does take away the peace that God has for me. I've said it many times. My wife can tell you that I've said it over and over again. We can't control what anybody says or does. All we can do is control how we respond to it. And great peace have they which love thy law. I'm not going to let what anybody else does rob me of my walk with the Lord and cause me to stumble. What a wonderful verse we have there. Verse 166. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. And here we see two words, the hope that we have. And remember the hope that we have in the Old Testament, this Hebrew word, we've seen it several times in this psalm. It has an element of expectation and it has an element of waiting. And so while we have this wonderful expectation from God, we're waiting and we're waiting. And we don't like waiting. Well, I can speak for myself. Maybe you don't mind waiting. I don't like waiting. And so here there's this hope. But then it says, and I have done thy commandments. And so while we are waiting, we're not to be inactive, are we? There's been an accomplishment here while we're waiting. That's why Jesus said, occupy until I come there, so that we can accomplish something with purpose. 167. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Things that you love, you like to keep. And so he says, I love God's commandments, I love God's word, and I am keeping God's commandments. I'm watching them. Remember in verse 163 and 165, we saw the words love, and it means to have an attraction for and to be drawn to something there. And I'm going to hold on to God's word because I love it. I'm going to hold on to my bride because I love her. We've made that commitment, and that's what he says here. I'm going to keep thy testimonies because I love them exceedingly. Verse 167. And now the last verse and this 21st stanza, 168, two little phrases. It says, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Every direction I go, every path that I take, if I choose to let something offend me instead of enjoying God's peace, he says, all my ways are before thee. He sees if we really love his law. He sees if we're drawn to it every day. He knows the degree of our love for God's word. You know, we have thermometers that we use to tell us the temperature of the room there, or we have gauges to check the antifreeze in a car, you know, with the little balls that come up. Does God have a gauge to measure our love for his word? Do we love God's word exceedingly? If God had a gauge that he measured our love and somehow we walked around with it on our back and on our chest where people could see how much we love God's word, the way he measured it, would it be embarrassing to us? how much we're drawn to God's Word. And may God help us that we might be in His Word more and more, because as we are, we'll have great peace and nothing will offend us. Next stanza, the last one, the letter T, as we would know it, Tau, in Hebrew, the last eight verses. Let my cry come near before thee, O God, O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word. The word cry here is not a tearful cry. This word has to do with glad shouting. So he's shouting out to the Lord for understanding according to God's word. This is the same word that Solomon asked for. When Solomon was asked whatever he wants understanding. And so now the psalmist says, Lord, I desire discernment. I want to not only hear your word and your law, but I want to understand it. I want to be able to apply it there according to thy word, 169. Any understanding we have, any education that we have apart from God's word is futile. It doesn't last for eternity. Oh, it might help us in this life, but God's word is eternal. And may we cry out for understanding in his word. Verse 170, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. Have you ever asked someone of a favor, or somebody has come to you and said, will you do a favor for me? That's the word supplication. You ever been to God and say, God, will you do a favor for me? God delights in doing favors for us because he loves us here. And here's the favor. He says, deliver me according to thy word. The psalmist says, God, will you be the power that overcomes the power that's against me and deliver me from whatever temptation, what I have, whether it's to be offended and stumble, will you be the power to overcome the power that's in my flesh and deliver me? Do me that favor. Give me your grace. Verse 171, when that happens, he says, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes there. I'll be careful to give you the praise. This word praise is actually a song of praise. And so whenever we sing a song of praise to the Lord, when God hears our supplication, when we ask him for a favor, and we ask him to be our deliverer, he does, and we sing a song of confidence with him. It says, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes, the understanding. When I have learned your word, God, I'll give you the praise for it. 172, not only will I have a song of praise, he says, my tongue shall speak of thy word. The word speak is actually a word that means a response. It's an answer. And so when God shows the favor and delivers us and becomes the power to help us overcome the temptations, my natural response should be, according to this verse, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. All your edicts, all of the decrees that you give forth in your word, they are righteous. We don't have to look at God's law and try to redefine it, do we? God's law is clear. It's righteous. Every word of God is pure. Now, verse 73, he says, God, I need a helping hand. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. And God loves to give a helping hand, doesn't he? God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. The word hand in the Bible is used three different ways. One, it's used as a literal hand. In Leviticus 14:28, it says, the priest shall put the oil that is in his hand upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed. And then in Genesis 16:9, it has to do with having the authority or right of possession. Listen to the verse from 16:9. The angel of the Lord said to Hagar, "Return to thy mistress, to Sarah, and submit thyself under her hands." And so God's hand is a helping hand. God's hand is a hand of authority that we submit under his hand. And also in Isaiah 37:27, this word is translated power. Therefore, their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were of small hand. They weren't able to accomplish much. You ever shaken hands with somebody who is huge, just has a hand that swallows you up? Have you ever shaken hands with my son? You know what I mean? You know, just swallows you up there. Well, their hand was small. It was powerless here. He says, "Let thine hand help me." Why? "For I've chosen thy precepts." God, I've made this choice. I've looked at all the options. I've examined all the different ways, and this is what I choose. I choose God's precepts. Verse 174, "I have longed for thy salvation, and thy law is my delight." And here we've seen those two words used together already in this psalm, and one has to do with the desire that's within us, and the other one has to do with the action we take because of that desire. I long for God's word, and it is my delight. While we're here in 119, go back to verse 24. I'm going to show you four verses that have the word delight. Verse 24, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." 77, "Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight." 92, "Unless thy law had been my delight, I should have perished in mine affliction." And then 143, "Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights there. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, it's tied to wisdom. This word is actually in Jeremiah is translated "dear son." In Jeremiah, he was a delight. He was a dear son. And God's word should be our delight like a dear son, a dear child that we love. And here he says, "I long for God's salvation. I delight in God's salvation." And ultimate salvation is glorification, isn't it? Whenever we see him, we'll be glorified. We have two more verses in this wonderful psalm. "Soul and live." Is your soul alive? He says, "Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee." The soul is the breath. It's the inner being with all of its thoughts and all of its emotions. He says, "God, let it be alive. Let it be flourishing." When a tree is alive, you see the fruit of the tree. And may our lives be alive in Christ where others see the fruit of our life. And when that happens, verse 175, he says, "My soul will praise thee. I'll shine for you and let you get the glory. And let thy judgments help me." God, I need your help. If I'm going to shine for you, if I'm going to let your word be strong in my life, if I'm going to have great peace and not let anything offend me, how am I going to do that? Here's how, verse 175. "Let thy judgments help me." God's word. Every day in God's word gives us the spiritual food and nourishment we need to glorify God. And then he finishes 176 and he says, "I've gone astray like a lost sheep." Have you ever done that? Gone astray? Well, he says, "God, I have, and here's what I ask. Will you seek me out?" And we know he will, because the Lord is my shepherd, and he always seeks out those lost sheep. And so then he closes the psalm by saying, "I do not forget thy commandments. Your word is not gone from my memory. I've gone astray, but while I was gone astray, your word pricked my heart, and your word is what brought me back to ask you to come and seek me and find me and restore to me, as David said in Psalm 51, the joy of thy salvation. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. And as we have done the last 8 Sunday evenings going through this psalm, we finish with Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms that we've seen, hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the power of your word, for the beauty of your word, for the poetry that's here, for the conviction that's there. Lord, help us in our walk with you that we might choose to delight in your word, that we might choose great peace, that we might choose not to be offended, that we might choose not to go astray. We might choose to be drawn to your word. Lord, each day our lives are filled with choices. And Lord, the more we know of your word and the more that we're in your word, the better equipped we are to make right choices. So help us to saturate our minds and our hearts with the word of God. In Christ's name, amen.